anyone else been just a little sick, kind of getting over it? Yeah, a whole bunch of people. I feel a lot better today than I did last week. And Pastor Kevin, he did a great job last Sunday, and he kind of wrapped up our 40 days of prayer. And this week, we're going to look at a new series as we head towards the cross of Easter. The next 7 weeks, we're going to be talking about statements that Jesus made on the cross. And, you know, Pastor Kevin talked about flying into outer space last week. I don't know if you saw Virgin Galactic stock this week. I don't know if they realized, hey, there's a pastor who wants to do this and he could never afford it, so their stock plummeted. But now, however you like to travel is all good. Some people like planes, but they're cramped. I've never been on a cruise ship. And I think that could be kind of fun. One time Sharon and I took a train somewhere. That was kind of fun. But I'll tell you, here's the trip that nobody likes to be on. And that's what I want to talk about today, is a guilt trip. Guilt trip is kind of like being car sick. And every one of us in life has had to face the facts that we haven't quite measured up. And then we have to deal with guilt. And there are times, you know, we think, gosh, am I going to be found out? If people knew what I did, am I going to be rejected? Or is somebody going to retaliate? And I want you to hear this statement really, really clear, because Jesus actually came to die and pay for your guilt. And I think there's probably 10 benefits that I want to talk to you about. And even it's probably wouldn't be a bad question. Could you think about right now, just off the top of your head, 10 benefits in this life and eternity because of what Jesus did for you on the cross? Just in your mind, 10 things. Boy, this is what happened because Jesus died in my place. And if you think, maybe I got a couple of those, I want you to be here the next 7 weeks. You do not want to miss, because we're going to look at probably the 7 greatest statements that Jesus could have ever made. And he made these when he was on the cross. And the first thing that Jesus says on the cross is this: Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. In Luke, this is how it reads. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Now, I want to pause there just for a moment and say this. They absolutely knew what they were doing. They were crucifying a man from a bogus trial, and they knew what they were doing. It wasn't as if these soldiers were just kind of going, oh my goodness, he's on the cross, and we just nailed him there. They knew what they were doing, but they had no idea the magnitude of what was happening. I don't think anybody but Jesus understood the magnitude of what was going to happen when he hung on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowds watched and the leaders scoffed. He saved others, they said. Let him save himself if he really is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Father, forgive them, because they're going to carry guilt. When we think about sin and when we're guilty, there's a couple of things that it just seems like systematically can happen. I want to mention that. I want to mention how if you really want to get rid of your guilt, here's how to do it. But here's the first thing we do. I think there's 3 things that we try to do with our guilt. And then I want to talk to you about what Jesus actually wants us to do with our guilt. Here's the first thing. We hide it. Right? We, people say, hey, you've got to bury your past. Well, when you bury your past, it's kind of like a zombie. It keeps coming back. There's no way that you can just say, hey, this happened and I'm done with it. It doesn't work like that. I mean, David wrote these words when he was trying to bury his past. He said, when I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy upon me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. If you could bury your past, that would be great. But you really can't, because it keeps resurrecting itself. And, you know, some people say, okay, I'm not going to bury it, but I can rationalize it. I mean, you know, I'm not the only one who's done this. I'm not the only one who's gone down this road. I mean, there's a lot of people. I'm not the only one. And so instead of burying it, we just say, wait, they did it, they did it, they did it. I'm just kind of part of what we do. When we rationalize, basically what we're doing is we're telling ourselves rational lies, because that doesn't help us with our guilt. You can try as hard as you want to convince yourself that something is right, even though deep inside you know that it's wrong. And it's easy, isn't it, to compromise? It's easy to at one point to have a standard, and then we just drop the standard to accommodate our lifestyles. The problem is, on the inside, it gets all messed up. And we really don't know how to deal with that. We can try to hide it, but the proverb says this: people who conceal their sins will not prosper. And so there's a second way that I think we try to deal with our sins, and I call it this: we try to hide it, and then we try to slide it. We try to slide it off of us onto somebody else. And we kind of have this way, well, I've done this, but this has been done to me. And because this has been done to me and I've done this, what's been done to me is worse. And so that kind of helps. And it's so easy to blame somebody else for your problems or the world's problems. It's a tactic that if you've read the Bible, you understand that it's as old as the Garden of Eden. Adam stood up like a man and he blamed his wife. You know, it was the woman you gave me. She brought this to me and I ate it. I mean, they both ate the forbidden fruit. They both sinned, but Adam didn't just blame Eve. He blames God. Hey, you know, if you hadn't created this woman for me, she wouldn't have offered this to me. And by the way, she was the only woman for me. So, God, it's really not my fault that I did this. You created Eve, and she was the only choice I had. And so because you created her, I think you and Eve have a problem. And it doesn't work. But isn't that what we do? And remember, you have to understand what I told you. Jesus came and died on the cross, and the first powerful words he spoke, Father, forgive them. Forgive them all. I came that people wouldn't have to live a life guilt-ridden. And there's another thing we do. I just called it this. We get fried inside. we absolutely beat ourselves up. Have you ever been so excited to bite into a piece of pizza and you didn't wait until it was cooled down and it stuck in your mouth and you, like, for like a week, your whole mouth is burnt? This is what we do to ourselves with guilt. We beat ourselves up and we subconsciously try to pay for what we have done. You know, David said, I was miserable. I felt terrible. It seemed as if my life was evaporating out of me. A lot of times people think, you know, gosh, I'm sick. Maybe I have the flu. Maybe I should eat better. Maybe, you know, this is what's going on. And the truth is, it's not necessarily what you're eating. It's what's eating you. And we have a problem when it comes to trying to deal with our guilt inside of ourselves, because there are times we don't know how to back off. And so we absolutely punish ourselves to the point it is a miserable existence. This is what David writes. My guilt overwhelms me. It is a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and stink because of my foolish sin. I am bent over and racked with pain. All day long I walk around filled with grief, a raging fever burning within me. My health is broken. I am exhausted and completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart. There are people who, and here's the thing, Jesus died for your sins. Which sin? Every sin. But there are people who continually beat themselves up for something that happened 20 years ago, 15 years ago. And you don't get over it. And it brings a lot of stress into our lives. And we can hide our guilt and pretend it never happened, and that doesn't work. We can blame somebody else because you did this, I'm justified in doing this, and that doesn't work. And we can punish ourselves. Punish ourselves to the point we're absolutely miserable. And that doesn't work. Most of the time, we don't know how to shut it off. The Bible is really clear about how to get off the guilt trip. And I want to talk about that just for a couple of minutes. But remember what I said in the beginning, that Jesus came to die on the cross so you didn't have to carry a life of guilt. It doesn't mean that you and I aren't guilty. It doesn't say that sin isn't sin. Absolutely, sin is sin, and absolutely, we are guilty. But where we focus and where we decide to live is a whole other story. And Jesus came to die for you and to die for me so we didn't have to live carrying a life of guilt. A couple of just simple steps. Simple, I don't mean easy, but they are simple. The first one is this: admit it. Absolutely admit it. This is what David did, and this is what he wrote next after what we had just read together. In Psalms, it says this: finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. You know, if we stop defeating ourselves, if we stop deceiving ourselves, if we quit pretending that this isn't an addiction, that this isn't a problem, that this isn't a real situation, we literally can be healed. We literally can be changed by God. John wrote this. I love these verses. They're in the latter part of his life, and I memorized these a long time ago, but they're so good. It says, if we claim to have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to cleanse us of our, to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Here's the thing. If you want to be forgiven, tell God what you've done. I know there's times like we don't want to tell God what we've done because we think, wow, what if he knows? He kind of already knows. And here's what's interesting about God. He wants to forgive you more than you want to tell him about what you've done. You want to get forgiven? Tell God. You want to be set free? Then tell somebody else. You're like, okay, time out there. I don't mind telling God, he already knows, but to tell somebody else, that's hard. It absolutely is hard, but accountability from other people is a great step in moving in the right direction. Because if we could have changed on our own, we would have already changed on our own. Everybody needs somebody that they can be completely honest with, and most people don't have that somebody. And because of that, we get isolated. We get lonely. We feel like we're trapped and that there's no way out. And the fact of the matter is God not only wants to forgive you, he wants to help you move forward. I read last night about the last part of the book of Luke, and Jesus is talking about things that are going to happen, and he says to Peter, hey, Peter, when you deny me, it's going to be rough. But after you've done it, then I want you to get back up, and I want you to encourage the other believers. In other words, Peter, I already know what you're going to do. And when you've done it, you're not done. I want you to get better, and I want you to move on. And then Peter's like, no, whatever it takes, I'm all in. And then Jesus says to him, I know what you're saying, but before morning, you'll deny me three times. And it's exactly what he did. And Luke records the third time Jesus looked over and caught eyes with Peter. And the scripture says that it flooded back into Peter's mind exactly what Jesus told him. Here's what I love about Jesus. He's in a horrible place. He knows he's going to the cross, but before he does, he looks at one of his followers and he says, hey, you're gonna bail on me. Matter of fact, you're not even going to bail on me. You're going to actually pretend we've never even met. And when you do that, just know that I died for you. I love you. I came to forgive you of this guilt. And then there's going to come a point I'm going to need to use you. And the scripture says in Luke, once Peter realized what he did, he left the courtyard and wept bitterly. But you see, he had that accountability from the Lord, and it makes a difference. So not only do we need to admit it, and I've alluded to this a little bit, the second thing we really need to do is ask specifically for forgiveness. That we literally ask the Lord to forgive us. And I read that, but it's so good. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from wickedness. You know what it doesn't say here? That God is utterly angry, utterly mad, and he really wants to punish us. A lot of people think that God's all mad and God's not mad. God allowed his son to die for you and to die for me. This is why we begin to anticipate Easter. Jesus did so much because the truth is you are guilty and I am guilty. Even if we want to do the very best we can, we're still guilty. I mean, we're human. And one thing that I've learned about the Lord, you don't have to beg over and over again for his forgiveness. He had his son die so that you can ask him for forgiveness and be forgiven. You don't have to beg, you don't have to bargain. But this is how life works. There is a devil and he hates you and he hates me. And his entire purpose is for you and me to reject God and to become his followers and ultimately be punished in eternity. And here's how the devil works. Before you're going to do something you know you ought not to do, he minimizes it. It's no big deal. Come on. This book, this old antiquated thing, it's not relevant for today. Everybody's doing this. This is how you get ahead. This is what you do. And the moment, I mean the moment, you know in your heart you've crossed that line, he doesn't minimize it. He maximizes it. And he wants you and me to feel like God no longer can stand us. That the church is embarrassed of you. And how could you? You are not only bad, you are so much worse than bad. And you know what happens? We get on this guilt trip. It's kind of like being car sick. It's no fun. And we can hide it. We can try to slide it off onto somebody else. We can just beat ourselves up. And that's exactly where the devil wants us. He doesn't want you and he doesn't want me. And I can promise you, he never wanted Peter. He never wanted Peter to be able to stand up again and say, I failed, but I'm not a failure because I have a Savior who died for me. We were best friends and I denied him. I acted like I never even knew him. And he said, Peter, when this is done, I need you. You have something valuable. So I admit it, I accept responsibility. I have to do that. I have to admit I have sinned. I have to take responsibility. And if there's times that I can make something right, I need to do that. I think I maybe told you that one time before when I was in high school, I said something really bad to a teacher. I mean, it was so inappropriate and bad. He said, Brewer, if you open your mouth again, I'm going to completely give up my entire teaching career. I wasn't very smart, but I knew that that was bad. And about 10 years later, I felt like the Lord wanted me to go back and apologize to him. And I thought, Lord, but it had been eating me, you see? And sometimes if we can make something right, we need to. And I walked onto the campus. This was 10 years after I graduated from high school, and there was that coach. And I thought, oh, Lord, And I went up to the coach and I said, hey, you probably don't remember me. And he says, yeah, I remember you, Brewer. And I thought, this is not going to end well. But I said to him, I said, can you just give me a minute? I said something to you once in a class, and I just needed to come and tell you I'm sorry. And he said, I don't really even know what you're talking about, but we're all good. Do you know what? I never thought about that again, ever. And there are times we can't make things right from things we've done. There are times we can. And that's kind of between you and the Lord. But the reality is that I need to admit my sin. And to the best I can, I need to take responsibility to try to make things right if I can. And again, sometimes we just can't. Now let me tell you what Jesus does. We'll kind of wrap things up. Let me tell you what Jesus does when I admit and I accept responsibility. He forgives me and you instantaneously. Do you get that? Instantaneously. God, here's what I did. And Jesus forgives you. Let me tell you a little trick I learned some years ago. When the devil brings that back up into your mind, you just say this, I must be forgiven, or you wouldn't have brought it up again. Because when you're sinning and when you're doing the things you ought not to do, the devil isn't saying, look what you're doing. You shouldn't do that. No, when you get forgiven, he says, hey, by the way, here's what you did. You remember who you really are? And this is what I would do. I think I was instantaneously forgiven, and now I know I am. Because you never brought this up when I was doing bad. And it's amazing how those things will leave. He not only forgives you instantaneously, he forgives you completely. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Forgive them for everything they're going to do. You don't get forgiven and it's like, oh, just this much, and you better work a little harder. You better give a little more. You better beat yourself up a little more. Absolutely, we are forgiven. And if you and I can comprehend this today, there's a couple of things that are going to happen. You're going to feel forgiven, and you're going to be a person who offers a lot more forgiveness to others. When you're not feeling forgiven, you are a very critical person. When you don't accept all that the Lord has done for you, it's easier to be mean and to want other. Hey, you didn't do right. Hey, I know what you did. Well, yeah, we're all guilty. And again, I'm not talking about here, be very clear. I'm not talking about we just gloss over things that the Bible says are not right. I'm talking about people who are full of grace, live giving grace. We are forgiven instantly, completely, and I like this, freely. I can't beg, borrow, or steal God's forgiveness. I can just receive it. It's a free gift that comes for you and me. It's maybe one of God's greatest gifts. So here's the question I have. How are you doing with unresolved guilt? How are you doing with the things that you have done? I believe this, that today is a day where you can see a clear path to God's forgiveness. Today is a day where you do not have to be bound by what was, but you can be set free by what is. And that is Christ on the cross, nailed there, and he says, Father, forgive them. Every one of them. every one of them is going to do something they wish they had not done. And they need your help. Immense loads of guilt, shame, regret. You don't want that eating you for years. And it can happen because we're all imperfect people. But I want to pray a prayer today that God will help you to be literally set free. And by the way, at the end of the service, I'll invite the elders who are here to the front. And if you have a prayer request, we want to pray for you. If you say, boy, here's something going on at work or my family, or boy, I'm so excited about this. Can you agree with me in prayer? Or there's something you would like an elder to pray with you for? Oh, what an honor for us to do that. But before we stand together and do that, I want to pray with you that God will grab a hold of your heart right now and tell you, you can be set free. Grab a hold of your mind right now and tell you that you're forgiven instantly, completely, and freely. And to help you the next time the devil brings that back into your mind, that you can flip that switch right over and say, I really am forgiven. I really am set free because you're trying to hold me back and I'm not going to be held back. I am believing in the grace of God Almighty from this moment forward. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. I think without a doubt, there are friends here today. There are people who've come to Hope Church today who need hope. And they suffer, Lord, under guilt and shame. God, the longer I live, the more I realize none of us have it all together all the time. None of us are perfect. And Jesus, that's why we're celebrating what you said on the cross, because it means a lot to us. Today, we confess to you our sins, and we ask for your forgiveness. We not only confess our sins, we receive that you are faithful and just, not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us. And God, I pray that in our hearts and our minds, we would realize that this actually happens instantaneously. It happens completely and it happens freely. God, we don't want to make excuses. We don't want to blame anybody else. We don't want to bury this in us. God, we want to confess to you. We are sinners and we are in need of a Savior. And we want you, Lord, to lead us in a path that makes us whole. We want you to lead us in a path that makes us holy. We want you, Lord, to give us principles in your word that we can continue in a way that breeds life and health. Thank you, Jesus, for saying, Father, forgive them. We believe it, we ask it now, and we pray that you would rid us of guilt that has stuck on us for far too long. Thank you that you paid the price on the cross for our sins. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. You're dismissed this morning, but don't forget, we would love to pray for you if you would allow us that privilege this morning. God bless you today.